My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear confirmants of the confirmation class of 2022, and to your parents and to your baptismal sponsors and families and loved ones, and to all of you fellow members of the body of Jesus Christ, peace to you all in the name of Christ our risen Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our reading from John chapter 16, just a very small portion of that, this 22nd verse, where our Lord Jesus says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." And then from the 21st chapter of Revelation, these words, "Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" This is God's word. Please be seated. So I'm taking my cue today for this sermon from the prayer of the day, in which we prayed, you prayed, among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Suggesting, of course, that there are a lot of places where we can fix our hearts where we're not going to really find true joy. The French philosopher Blaise Pascal said that without exception, all men seek happiness. And that's what motivates us to do everything that we do. We're looking for joy in our lives, true joy and happiness. What is true joy, though? Well, this prayer that we prayed today would define true joy as loving what God has commanded, which is the best way of life, a way of life that is truly joyful for this life here. But then it also, true joy is desiring what he promises, which is that certain hope that we have in Jesus Christ of that joyous life forever in the new Jerusalem or the new heaven and the new earth that we just heard about. That's true joy. To love what God commands and to desire what God promises. But so few people know this. Most people do not know where to fix their hearts to find true joy. And so instead, they're fixing their hearts on all kinds of things that will never yield them true joy, however good those things may be. Perhaps they will fix their hearts on family, and they think that's where true joy is. Or they fix their hearts on success and money, or material things. Or they fix their hearts on experiencing everything in this world that they possibly can. Or maybe they fix their hearts on an education. They think that's the key to real joy in life. All of which are very good things in themselves, and all of which can indeed bring a degree of joy to our lives, but all of which are also vulnerable to the one great killjoy. And maybe you caught that in our prayer too, when we said that among the many changes of this world, may our hearts be fixed where true joys are found. The changes of this world and of this life. Change is the great killjoy. Family is great until there's been a savage argument that changes the entire family dynamic into one of bitterness and estrangement and strained family gatherings. Money is great until it changes a person into a lover of money who becomes preoccupied with their financial cares to the detriment of their marriage or their family or their own health or their peace of mind. changes of this world. The change is a great killjoy. I mean, change to your health or to the health of a loved one can turn your world upside down in just a moment. Or the changes that are made by the government can have a profound impact on your life, your pocketbook, your investments. Changes in the culture upset us and they frighten us. I think it's interesting that when we sing that hymn, Abide With Me, we sing these words, change and decay in all around I see. Almost as if change and decay are synonymous with each other, which very often they are. Which is why so often we don't like change in our lives, because change upsets the apple cart. And it often robs us of the joy of living this brief life that God has given us. And life is brief. It's brief because of one change in particular that is more difficult to bear than all the other changes. And that's death. The death of a parent, the death of a child or a spouse or a good friend, and suddenly everything has changed. In my own family right now, we are in the middle of preparing for a funeral. We just lost our sister Mabel Bishop, and we just can't believe that she's gone. Yesterday we heard that 10 people in Buffalo, New York were grocery shopping, and they were cut down, their lives cut off by a gunman. And every one of them was the joy of somebody else's life. And what's so hard to deal with in these changes is the finality of that change. Death especially steals companionship that we love. It steals away a relationship that we rely on. It takes away from us people who are the anchors of our lives. Death is the ultimate killjoy. And no, death is not just a part of life, like so many people like to say, trying to comfort themselves somehow. No, death was never part of God's plan for life. It is a hostile intrusion into the life that God has given us. Death is the wages of sin. You might even say that death is what sin looks like. You want to see what sin looks like? Come to a funeral. Because sin does not just result in battered egos or bruised flesh or broken relationships. Sin results in bodies in caskets. And we should never be comfortable with that. We should hate it. Death is our enemy. It is the ultimate mocker of all that we rely upon, of everything that we fix our hearts upon to give us joy in this life. And that's why we pray, O Lord, among the many changes of this world, and especially with the change that death brings to our lives, O Lord, grant that we would fix our hearts where true joys are found. Our Lord's disciples experienced death and change as the killjoy of their lives. In the 3 years that they had spent with Jesus in his ministry, they had seen and heard things they could never have dreamed they would ever see or hear. Wonderful things. They saw miracles. They heard teachings that just opened their minds and acts of compassion that changed people's lives. Those were the three best years of their lives. They were good years, and they were years of joy being with their Lord. But the cross changed everything. Now all of a sudden their joy was gone. Their master was dead, and their life was as good as over. Of course, Jesus had predicted this, if they had just had the ears to hear it. Just as in our gospel reading today, he said, a little while and you will see me no longer. And by that he meant he was going to be killed and buried and they would not see him. But then he quickly added, but again a little while and you will see me. because, as he had promised, he would rise from the dead. But they didn't understand that. How could they? All they knew on that dark Friday is that their lives had changed forever, and not for the good. Change is a great killjoy, and death is the greatest killjoy of them all. And that's why in our effort to find a true joy, we don't fix our hearts on anything in this world that is subject to change and death. Oh yes, enjoy God's good gifts that He's given to you. Enjoy your family and your friends and your money and your experiences of this world. Enjoy your life in this body. But don't fix your heart on these things as if you're going to find true joy there. For that, we look to something that will never change. For true joy, as we said in this prayer, is to look to that which God has promised you in Jesus Christ, His Son. You will see me, He promised, and your sorrow will be turned to joy. You see, the heartbeat of God is your salvation from the sin and from the death that kill our joy here in this life. And so He sent His only Son to die as the payment of sin, and then to rise in victory to emasculate death, that great mocker of joy. The greatest killjoy of them all has been killed. Death is dead, defeated by Christ, our risen Lord. And the heart that beats with the life of Jesus Christ is the heart that's going to find that true joy that we all want. You will see me, He's promised, and your sorrow will be turned to joy. Now, confirmands, the world is going to try to tell you where to fix your hearts. They're going to say, get a good education. That's where you ought to fix your heart if you want a joyful life. Or they're going to tell you, have a family. Fix your heart on your family. That's where it's at. Or buy stuff. Oh, they're going to tell you do that because that's where you ought to fix your heart. Buying stuff, right? Nice cars, houses, whatever it is. Or success. Or experiences in this world. Fix your heart on these things, they will tell you, all of which may be well and good, but all of which, I remind you, are subject to change and decay, and all of which death will finally bring to an end. Then what? Then where will be your joy? So our prayer for you today, confirmands, as you confirm your baptismal faith, is that among the many changes of this world, among the many changes that are going to be a part of your lives, that your hearts will be fixed where true joys are found, fixed on things that will never change, hearts fixed on the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ, by which He redeemed you and forgives you, hearts fixed on pursuing the kingdom of God as you grow in your faith, nurture your faith in the Word of God and at the sacrament of the altar. Hearts fixed on the commands of God, loving your neighbor and serving your neighbor as Christ loved and served you. Hearts fixed on what God has promised you, that certain hope of the new heaven and the new earth where Christ is going to dwell with us forever and where we will never again grieve or cry or suffer ever again, where no one or nothing will ever steal our joy away. You will see me, He promised, and your sorrow will be turned to joy. Among the many changes of this world, Fix your heart where true joys are found. I pray that for every one of you here. But most of all today, with a special affection in my heart for you, my students, I pray this prayer for you. Lord, among the many changes of this world, grant that Dakota and Cooper and Paul and Reagan and Olivia and Mitchell may always fix their hearts where true joys are found. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.